Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Blood and Progress. A Century of Left-Wing Violence in America by Noah Rothman is a work of political history and contemporary commentary focused on domestic political violence in the United States. Rothman, a writer associated with National Review, argues that violence pursued for progressive or left-wing political ends has a longer and more consequential American history than public debate often acknowledges. The book traces a line from early 20th century anarchist violence and revolutionary radicalism through communist agitation, anti-war unrest, and more recent episodes of militant activism. Its purpose is not simply to catalog incidents, but to challenge what Rothman sees as an uneven moral and analytical standard in media, academia, and politics. He contends that political violence cannot be understood or reduced if one ideological source is scrutinized, while another is excused, minimized, or romanticized. The result is a polemical but historically grounded intervention in debates over extremism, civic order, and partisan accountability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central argument that left-wing violence has been underexamined. Rothman builds the book around the claim that political violence in contemporary America is often discussed through an incomplete lens. Public institutions, journalists, and scholars frequently treat right-wing violence as the primary or default model of domestic extremism, while left-wing violence is more likely to be described as unrest, resistance, excess, or reaction to injustice. The book challenges that asymmetry by arguing that violence intended to advance left-wing political goals is not incidental to American history. It has appeared repeatedly when activists or movements conclude that ordinary democratic mechanisms are too slow, corrupt, or illegitimate. The importance of this argument lies in its demand for conceptual consistency. Rothman is not merely asking readers to add more incidents to a list of threats. He is pressing them to ask why similar acts can be interpreted differently, depending on the cause attached to them. If violence is condemned only when it comes from ideological opponents, the public loses the ability to distinguish protest from coercion and dissent from intimidation. Secondly, a century-long historical arc from anarchists to modern militancy. The book situates current conflicts within a longer historical pattern, rather than presenting modern left-wing violence as a sudden development. Rothman points to early 20th century anarchists, the influence of revolutionary politics after the Russian Revolution, communist movements, anti-war radicalism in the 1960s, and later, activist currents as part of a recurring cycle. This historical framing matters because it disputes the idea that each episode is merely a spontaneous response to local conditions. Rothman suggests that different movements have used comparable justifications. The system is oppressive, conventional politics is compromised, and violence is defensible if it accelerates progress or disrupts injustice. By organizing the material across generations, the book emphasizes continuity in moral reasoning as much as continuity in tactics. The actors, causes, and targets change, but the underlying permission structure can resemble earlier moments. This approach gives readers a broader map of political violence, showing how radical ideas migrate across periods, and how later activists may inherit symbols, slogans, and rationalizations from movements that came before them. Thirdly, the role of romanticized radicals and selective historical memory. One of the book's distinctive concerns is the way violent or violence-adjacent figures can be absorbed into progressive memory as martyrs, rebels, or misunderstood reformers. Rothman argues that this process weakens moral clarity because it separates political intention from method. A figure who commits or encourages coercive acts may later be remembered chiefly for opposing war, capitalism, racism, or state power. While the violent implications of that activism are softened, the book treats this as more than a historical error. It is a mechanism by which later movements inherit permission to excuse similar behavior. When past radicalism is sanitized, present radicalism can appear less dangerous and more legitimate. This theme also challenges readers to distinguish between understanding the grievances behind activism and validating the methods used in pursuit of those grievances. Rothman is especially critical of cultural and institutional habits that treat extremism on the left as youthful idealism or principled impatience. For him, selective memory is not neutral. It shapes what a society is prepared to tolerate. Fourthly, a warning that the right can adopt the same excuses for violence. Although the book focuses on left-wing violence, Rothman does not present violence as a uniquely left-wing human temptation. A notable part of the argument is that sections of the American right have increasingly adopted rationalizations similar to those he attributes to the left. These include claims that the political order is illegitimate, that enemies are existential threats, and that aggressive confrontation is an understandable response to elite corruption or institutional betrayal. This point broadens the book beyond a partisan indictment. Rothman suggests that once one side normalizes excuses for violence, the other side can imitate the logic while changing the targets. The result is a competitive cycle of justification rather than restraint. His criticism of right-wing recklessness, including rhetoric that seemed to tolerate or inflame confrontation during the Trump era, reinforces the broader principle that political violence must be rejected consistently. The book therefore uses left-wing violence as its main subject while making a wider argument about how democratic cultures decay when factions reserve outrage only for their opponents. Lastly, consistent scrutiny is a requirement for reducing political violence. Rothman presents consistent scrutiny as a practical civic necessity, not simply a matter of rhetorical fairness. If institutions identify one ideological category of violence quickly and aggressively while hesitating to name another, they create incentives for denial, resentment, and escalation. Those who feel their opponents are protected by euphemism may conclude that official standards are partisan, while radicals within the protected camp may take ambiguity as permission. The book, therefore, asks political observers to apply the same analytical tools across the spectrum, examine motives, identify networks of justification, reject intimidation, and avoid treating ends as a moral shield for means. This is an argument about public language as much as law enforcement or history. Labels, omissions, and framing choices influence whether citizens see violence as an attack on democratic order or as an understandable expression of frustration. Rothman stands out in this respect because he connects historical narrative to present day interpretive habits. His central policy adjacent lesson is that reducing violence begins with describing it honestly and judging it by conduct rather than by ideological sympathy. In conclusion, Blood and Progress is best suited for readers interested in American political violence, ideological extremism, conservative political analysis, and the contested boundaries between protest and coercion. It will be especially useful for readers who want a counterweight to accounts that concentrate mainly on right-wing domestic threats, though it is likely to be most persuasive to those open to Rothman's critique of progressive institutions and media framing. The practical benefit of the book lies in its insistence on consistent standards. Readers can use it to think more carefully about how political causes are narrated, to how violent tactics are excused, and how historical memory can turn radicals into symbols without fully confronting their conduct. Intellectually, it stands out from many books on extremism because it combines a century-scale historical survey with an argument about contemporary perception. Rather than treating violence only as a security problem, Rothman examines the moral vocabulary that permits some violence to be minimized. Compared with broader histories of terrorism or polarization, this book is narrower and more polemical, but that focus is also its distinguishing feature. It aims to correct a perceived blind spot in public debate and to argue that democratic stability depends on condemning political violence without ideological exceptions. If you would like to support Noah Rothman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.